You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact. And redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Great Connect podcast. I'm Carrie Allen, your host and founder of The Human Array. And here today, I am with Jen Scalicorn, who is welcoming us into this space with all her sunshine. I feel like it's just sunshine and glowing behind you. I love it. And Jen is got so much beautiful practices, modalities, wisdom, knowledge that she is weaving together. I cannot wait for you to meet her. So welcome, Jen. So excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. So good. It's always my favorite to introduce some of my favorite people to more people. So awesome. So
world works.
Yes, right? So I'd love to jump in, and you have, as I just said, like lots of different big nuggets that you are weaving together, which is just like my favorite thing to witness. People taking different pieces and saying, oh, these fit together in this way for me. And that can be really helpful for people. So kind of give us your big nuggets and what you're weaving together today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love the question because I'm a weaver and sometimes I don't even know what I'm weaving until it's done. That's kind of how I do art too. Like, I'm not really good at art, but like my best art is when I totally don't know what I'm doing and I'm like, oh, cool, that looks like this.
Yay!
But yeah, so, you know, my professional background has been in public health for over 20 years and really interested in service. So I started off as a Peace Corps volunteer in Senegal, West Africa, just really wanting to serve people. And so, you know, underserved communities in need, women, children, all of that. So I also have been interested in kind of what I call integrative health for a very long time. So I've been doing yoga since I was just out of college and found that as a practice that I've come back to like time and time again. And along the way, you know, I pick up Qigong and mindfulness and meditation and, you know, all the good stuff. Yeah. But I kind of feel like I've always been in two worlds. Like I've got my public health hat on, or I have my like integrative health alternative modalities hat on. And in the past, well, there's a bit of a story behind it, but you know, like 4 years ago, I kind of was like, you know what, I'm going to become a certified health coach. And I was really into nutrition at the time and still am, but so I got certified in that, but then the pandemic hit. And so that kind of halted that. And after staying home with my kiddos for that time period, at the end, I was kind of like really wanting structure. Yeah. And so I went kind of put all that on further hold and went back into public health for the next few years. And you know, I've still have this little feeling in the pit of my stomach, you know, saying like, hey, there's something else. You still need to do the work of kind of like letting these two worlds connect.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in January, right, we had a change of administration politically, and the public health workforce was cut drastically. And so I'm also living in Washington, D.C. or right outside of it. And so many of my friends, neighbors, colleagues, students that I advise, were impacted by this. And it was kind of this beautiful wake-up call for me to be like, hey, you know what? I have a lot of stuff, the modalities, the strategies, the things that I've been using personally, in addition to professionally advising students, helping them navigate, working professionally and going to school at the same time and work-life balance with kiddos at home, all of it. So I didn't really know what it was going to look like, but I'm like, I have something to offer, and I think I can help people. And especially women who are just navigating so much stuff, similar to what, we've all navigated. But that there are these tools and strategies and mindsets and ways of thinking, so many things, right, in the toolbox, that if we can bring some awareness to these things, I think can be just so helpful and so impactful for people.
Yes, I love that, and I love how you said that, like. Well, okay, all this is happening now, and I'm actually super prepared to help everybody in a way that maybe I didn't even realize was happening, that I have all the this like treasure trove. That's what I'm like envisioning. Like you have a treasure chest of all these things. And it's like, oh, okay, like here, come over here. I've got this chest of things. Like, let's figure out what you need in there.
And not just to be clear, right? Like I have the treasure chest, but I don't understand it for myself necessarily, right? Like I'm much better at helping other people go through the treasure chest.
That is the way this world works, isn't it funny? It's so funny. And I'm like, why is that? Why is that the way that
Why is
it
that? We've
is?
like got blinders on sometimes for ourselves, right? Like 4 years ago, 4+ years ago, right? Like I kind of had this inclination, this intuition, this inner knowing, right? That this is, I needed to combine this stuff, right? That I needed to share it, and I didn't. And so now it just like comes back, but like I'll just keep opening up that treasure chest.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned a lot of different things in that treasure chest. So, like, how are you weaving those things today? Like, what feels, you had said, yoga has been a practice for a really long time, and then you've added other things, and then the nutrition. Like, what do you feel like is most supportive for this audience that's kind of moving through a lot of noise, if we could call it, right? Like, I heard somebody say, humans need volcanoes to actually decide that they're going to create change. They need big eruptions, really loud noises to make that happen. So I'm just curious, like, as you're supporting those people that are having those moments, like, what feels like the thing that's most supportive to them right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's community. So I just launched a pilot program. I selected, I asked like six buddies of mine who were impacted by change, who lost jobs, who were all women. Many of them were women, mothers as well, parents. And so we went on this kind of fun ride together. And I think, I shared a lot. I shared the mindfulness, I shared the meditation, I shared yoga practices, I shared life design practices and exercises. How do you mind map? How do you get outside of your linear head and think about really what's in your heart and what you're passionate about? I shared all of that, right? It was a lot. It was an overload of things, right? And at the end of the day, like looking at the in public health, so I evaluated it, right? I asked them all, this was, yeah, please fill out this evaluation. And they're buds of mine, so they all did. But it was the community piece of it, right? And that's what you're building here through Human Array. So it's not rocket science. Like we have evolved as humans, right, to connect with one another and to support each other. And so now more than any other time, right, like when the path may not be clear for a lot of people, especially if they've lost a job or they're in transition or they've lost, whatever it is, we're always in transition, whether it's a relationship, a job, an identity, whatever it is, we're always in transition. And so, but we often feel all alone, that we're the only one going through this experience. And so bringing some awareness, bringing the women together, And building that awareness. Oh my gosh, well, she's talking about this, and I experience this all the time. I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the most impactful thing. Like, you're not alone, that we have similar shared challenges, and that we can also wrestle with trying to find the right modalities and strategies and approaches that can work for each person, right? And so it's not a it's not the same for every individual. For one person, yoga may really resonate, and for someone else, it's like definitely not that, right? Maybe it's
Yeah.
art or music or walking outside. For most of those six women, like an N of six, just being outside is so amazing and such a free resource, right? You don't have to buy the expensive supplements and the latest this and the red
We have
light
like a
therapy, or people just not have
plethora.
an in-home sauna. Like, it's just outside, right?
Yes, we have like a huge resource that is underutilized, we don't tap into, that has all these amazing benefits for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just came back from like a week of camping, and oh my God, it was just like, you just, one, I think getting away, changing things up, and two, just like getting outside and reconnecting, like,
Yes.
to the human
And
animal, right? The human experience, the world that we actually live in, rather than behind our laptops and our Zoom screens.
I know, right? Yes, like, oh, all of a sudden, for a long time, I talked about like our communities of isolation, right? It's the same idea. Like, we live in our house, and oh, yeah, there's a world out there. I should probably be a part of that.
Yeah,
Like, what's
totally.
happening out there? How do I do that? Right? And now it's almost become foreign to us, where we have to be reintroduced to that. And it sounds like that's a lot of what clicked for these women with you.
And I'm super excited to see, where they go with it. So I'm brainstorming, designing all these different opportunities to stay connected, right? And perhaps even build just an ongoing community where people can tap in when they want, for however long they want, to connect with one another through these, and bring to light some of these shared experiences, as along with, sprinkling in all the modalities, all the treasures, right? In the treasure box, in terms of what can be supportive and nourishing. This, the other thing is, you talk about this with kind of like just this mountain analogy, like, where are you in the mountain, right? From awareness to like really becoming quite proficient at something, expert in something. And since they were my friends, and in my network, professionally or just friends, they weren't fully in the way that I am into these modalities. And I was actually pretty surprised that, we do need to take some steps backwards to even raise the awareness that, like, these women have so many things going on. They're in Washington, D.C. They're mostly type A women. They've got more than one kiddo. They're experiencing a major life change in terms of like job loss, right? They've got a lot going on, and they don't even really have the words to identify that stress. And they're like, I got it, I got it. That's kind of like the mantra in this society. I got it. I'll just keep pushing harder. I'll stay up later. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll do the hustle. And so I think it was also healing for them, again, through community, but to be able to put words to it. Oh, like, this doesn't have to be normal, right? Like, this excess stress that they don't really know what to do with, that's not, that isn't, shouldn't be normal, right? It is in our society, but it doesn't need to be. And that there's different ways to diffuse it, to re-regulate it, et cetera.
Even notice it, right? Like, that's what I love that you're saying, is the very first step is that noticing of like, oh, I didn't even realize that was there, or that I was doing that perpetually, or yeah, it's just become a part of me. And yeah, you're so right. It's such a normalized version of life now that is working against us rather than for us. And it's like, how do we start to bring awareness to each of those like micro moments where we're choosing that normal rather than like a more regenerative, supportive, sustainable normal? Yeah, I love that. And
And
then,
they couldn't even, the point was, how do you navigate change? It's hard to even get to that navigate change part until they have some familiarity with just like, oh, actually, I need to like deal with the fact that, right, like I could be functioning better, more energetically, in more alignment if I actually was aware and took stock of like, I need to slow down before I can speed up.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, I have my own personal burnout story, and I have a I have lots of dreams, as you know, but one of the dreams is like, how do we get to a place where, as we're moving through this transition, we can like gift people like 3 to 5 years of like shifting? Because there's a big like down, and then there's like a rebuilding that needs to happen. And the hustle part of us that we're trying to unwind from tells us we can just flip and switch it over, right? But that's not real. Or well, it can be, but you're just perpetuating the same thing in a different way,
You're gonna
right?
end up in the same spot, but just in a different location, right?
Exactly, right? I love that the impetus or the call to action is to navigate the change, but the reality is actually like a seed of, oh, there's actually something that needs to change here.
And it's so hard. I mean, change is so hard. And that's what connects my worlds, like public health, right? A lot of it, there's a section of it, right? That a portion of it that focuses on behavior change, like health promotion and wellness, which includes often behavior change. How do you get someone to stop smoking or using drugs or someone who's overweight to lose some weight and to eat differently, have a different relationship with eating, sedentary lifestyles, all those things. It sounds easy. We hear it all the time, right? Like, well, you should eat less, eat healthier, sleep more, get outside, exercise more. We know all this stuff, but like if we could just have the magic wand that like actually allows you to do it. But I do think like slowing down is the first step, right? It's not like I need to move more, so let me go run a marathon when I'm already, depleted, the adrenal fatigue, the overwhelm, the fight or flight. Like that is not the time to go run a marathon. But our culture kind of tells you like, put your shoes on and go out and do it. And it's so counterintuitive, so counterculture to be like, oh, like actually slowing down. Rest can be radical and revolutionary. And I'm not saying like I'm good at any of this. But
Same.
again, the collective, the commune through community, right? Like if we can start normalizing even just how we think about this, like, oh, actually, we know science tells us this is all the right thing to do. Can we support each other in doing it? Like, yes, go read a book instead of checking off the 10 things on your to-do list and doing 20 emails. Because when you come back to it, you're going to be much more focused, efficient, and ready to go, and the ideas are clearer rather than just cranking it out,
Oh, 100%, right? It's such a it's been a fascination for me throughout my entire business life that you sit at a desk and you do work. And yet, when I step away from the desk, when I'm out and about, now when I'm with my kids, my practice is I make bread for the family every week. And yeah, it takes time. But you know what? That's actually some of the most restorative, productive time in my week because I can't do anything other than smash the bread, right? Like mold and all my hands are occupied, they're dirty, right? And so I just get to like let whatever comes through me in that moment happen, right?
I
Whatever
love that.
thoughts, whatever things there are. And some people from the outside would say, well, like, you're not working hard enough. But the reality is actually like that is a way of being that isn't like I can just turn it on and turn it off, because we don't just turn it on and turn it off. That's not really how our bodies work.
Totally. And you actually have a physical thing, right? Like you have the dough on your hand, so you're not able to like grab your phone.
I
But I had
know.
this great thought, you know, it's like in a yoga practice. It's like, oh, and it's like, no, I'm not going, like, I will remember. If it's meant to be remembered, I will remember it, right? But it's, slowing down, getting back to the a natural rhythm of life, right? Making the bread from start to finish, not just going to the store and, taking it off of the shelf.
Right. Like you were saying, that would be on my checklist of the things, right? Like I have to go get bread. I have to this, I have to that. And the slowing down allows us to look at the list in a different way and say, wait, like actual thinking time. Like we don't have a lot of thinking, contemplation,
It's
just,
just what's the next thing?
yes.
Which can be so overwhelming and paralyzing, you know. And I was just having this discussion with another mom too, and she's like, when I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids, and I try to be as present as possible. And when I'm not and I'm working, I try to be as present as possible with whatever the thing is or the person I'm talking to. And I'm like, yeah, me too. But it's really hard, right? Because you have this, I mean, I get in the moment and it feels terrible, right? Like when you're trying to be present with another human being that you care about and you have this list going on in your head, I gotta do this. Like it's a no win. Like that interaction kind of just went, well. Right. And so it's really tapping in. That's the mindfulness piece, right? Like tapping into that really the present moment, which is so hard to do, but so amazing when you can, right? And that's why I also think just like those weird random moments, you haven't planned them out, can be like the most amazing because you're just in flow and in the present moment. And it's just amazing. And if you were to tell a story about that present moment, it's like, I don't know. I just had my hands in the
I don't know what happened.
it's not like I'm canoeing down the Mississippi River and a big something happened, it's just, but that made you feel so alive, right? Like you were present in an amazing way, which is just in the human condition is hard to really sustain for any amount of time, but I love it. I'm gonna start bread making.
You should. I mean, candidly, like you said, it took me almost a year to be able to actually make bread. So I have a sourdough starter. It's like a whole, like, this is not necessarily like I'm more of a baker, but getting the sourdough to like start and stay and anyways, but I think it was a really important process for me to like just flow and those micro habits of like, okay, this one doesn't work. This one, I don't know what's happening here. And I just allowed it to like move at its own pace. And like, if I needed bread and I had to get bread, like, I don't know that I would enjoy the process the same way that I actually do now, which is, my
Well,
husband's like,
it's very much like a mindfulness practice that you've adopted that actually tastes good at the end of it.
I mean, it started where I was like, okay, I'm gonna make bread every once in a while. And now it's like, I have to make bread every 5 days because it disappears in my house. I'm like, we didn't even have bread in the house before.
That's so funny. You're like carb-free, and now all of a sudden, sourdough's
It's
the best
sourdough.
in terms of that.
Exactly. It's homemade sourdough. And I just want to tack on to that because I think what you're saying and what you're creating is access for these women. And everybody moving through change is that intentionality. And when we allow ourselves to slow down and find our intentions and then tap into them, even if they're things that we used to do, right? Like that's okay. It's just realigning to it. What I'll say is in my bread making, my son, I have another friend who makes bread and he was at her house and he had some of her bread and he said, but mom, your bread was way better. And I said, "Can I tell you a secret? I would bet her son, if he had my bread, would say her bread was better because you know what? I made mine with my love and she made hers with her love." Right? And it's like, that's actually the stuff that we're looking for, is that output of that feeling, that love, that transmission of that experience. And what you're accessing for women is, wait, this is a transactional experience. Is that the way I want it to be? Or how do I shift into intention, presence, right? And that's not an easy shift when we've been built into transaction. How many things can you get done in a day? The list,
That
right?
widgets, counting the
Yes.
widgets.
Bits, the bops, the boops, like all the things. And that's a measure of our value and success. And it's like, actually, every day now, I would choose making that bread for my son to say, "Mom, your bread is the best bread." I would do that till the end of time, right? Like, I will do that till the end of time, no matter what, because that's way more valuable to me.
No, I mean, and it's intention, and also, just coming back to, core values and priorities. What's important to you, right? Like, that's important to you. You're making time for that in your day, right? And you're making time to make something that's nourishing for your family. And the same thing with kind of what I'm doing with these women around life, intentional life design work is, what do you want? Right. And so often we think we know what we want because, oh, someone, I'm doing this work and someone likes it. And so that now they've, I just talked to a neighbor of mine. She was doing this work, not sure if she loved it or not, but it was, work that she was doing. And someone saw that work and was like, "Hey, I'll hire you for more." So now she's transitioned. It's like, "So what, are you excited?" She's like, I don't know. It pays more, but, so often, and especially for these people who are navigating change, who have had a job loss, whatever, they're sending out like 100 resumes just to get the job, which I get, like financial security, they need to pay the bills so that they can go get the yeast to make the bread, right? But it's also a moment of reflection for a lot of people, right? Maybe they don't need to have that knee-jerk fight or flight reaction to just send out 100 emails, which when you actually look at the evidence for that, that's like the least effective way to actually find a job. It's through networks, right? Community, right? What we were talking about at the beginning. And so, but also to be intentional, like, what is next for me, right? Am I enjoying what I did? What parts of it did I like? What parts of it did I not like? How does it fit into everything else I have going on in my life right now? If you do have kids, like spending time with the kids, trying to be present, or other loved ones, or caretaking for, maybe older parents, whatever it is. But coming back to that, and it's really surprising how little a lot of people think about that. Oh, I want more money, I want the status, I want this next title, I want, but like coming back to really what is important to you in terms of core values and priorities and passions. And that's where I got, off on the wrong path for a while, because I was focusing on those other things instead of like, oh no, my heart's actually really calling me to serve in this way. And I can figure out how to do that, but by ignoring it, my heart just kept tugging at me, like feeling like something wasn't aligned, something wasn't right. But by coming back, and it's hard because you got to quiet everything else. Right, you gotta slow down, you gotta quiet, you gotta tune stuff out so you can actually tap in to what's really important for you right now, right here, to figure out what you want to move towards, right? Where you want to put your energy and your effort and time and focus towards. But it's kind of like reverse engineering, right? Like, and it's also this idea that most people don't think they can design that, like take a proactive approach to these things. They think, well, this person called me, so I'm going to take this job, or this person selected me amongst, how many, so I'm going to do this thing. But yeah, I'm seeing plenty of people who are just like, yeah, I got a job. And, their face is just like, you just know that they're not ready, to jump back in. You know that this isn't the job that, like, even at the beginning, if it doesn't even sound exciting at the beginning.
I know, right? You haven't even started yet, and that's already how you feel.
I mean, it's just going to create all this dissonance in the body and the mind and the spirit, and then it's just going to take a long time to kind of unravel that to figure out what's next for a person. So I just love empowering people to, like, again, come back to, like, really what's important. And I love the bread making analogy, right? Like, yes, do that, as a way to kind of unwind. You're building so many amazing things here through the human array, right? And then balancing that out, right?
Oh yeah. It's a day. I mean, it's a daily practice, right? Because unfortunately, we live, fortunately and unfortunately, of course, but like we live in this world that on the outside, like, but I think you were talking about this with the community too, right? The outside world can be loud, it can be noisy, and it can erupt volcanoes that impact us individually. And that happens consistently, right? Like change is the hardest. And yet, actually, it's the most.
Constant.
It is. Right. And, but I think that community aspect, right? And a big part of what I have worked really hard to cultivate too, and what I love about what you're bringing in for these women is surrounding yourself with people that are trying to create, it creates this coherent field, this coherence between you that. No, none of us are getting it perfect. That's not the goal. And yeah, we still live in this world and we still have to operate in this world. And if we can find this coherence with others to support ourselves when every day we're having to come up against those decisions of do I slow down or do I go check the boxes because that's pulling me, but this is right. And living those struggles together allows us to actually keep navigating towards that coherence of like, okay, it's safe. Just slow down. Because
Yeah, I love that safety piece, right? Like you have to feel safe doing it. Our nervous systems have adapted to feeling safe when you're running at full speed and you don't have to think or feel anything or you don't feel anything, right? You don't tap in, but that's not sustainable, right? It's like continuously running a marathon or continuously sprinting. Like the body needs to rest, regroup, so that it's ready for the next thing. But our nervous systems are always heightened. And so that's become normalized.
Like, and I remember that for myself, even like what is it? Like that safety and that speed and that chaos and all of that, like that feels good. And so to slow feels really scary, really abnormal, right? And so having others that you can kind of do that with and just dip the toe in and then okay, and then dip it, the rest of the feet in, and then just slowly moving into that state, allowing your body to access that just like you would run a marathon, right? But we're running a slow
But you
marathon.
have to train and you have
You
to
have to
train
train.
to run a marathon or you injure yourself. But it's like that training, that dipping your toe in, like slowing down, just little tidbits of time, right? But otherwise your body doesn't know anything else. And then illness, and then you're presented with an illness, some sort of chronic disease or something, right? That comes out of nowhere because like the body is sending you a message. Hey, slow down.
Yes,
And that's what's
exactly.
happening with burnout too, right? Like you just keep running so fast. I have my own burnout story, right? And it's like finally the body is just like, okay, you're not listening, you're not listening, you're not listening. So I'm gonna get really loud and really big so that you can't ignore me. And then most people run to the doctor and think, give me a pill, take care of this. And the body just has to keep at it, right? So you really have to like a lot of people hit pretty far down rock bottom before they can actually like create a change, right? Have that aha moment, that epiphany moment where you're like, okay, something's got to shift. And even then it's not really not clear for a lot of people.
I mean, that's what I loved about this analogy that, like, we need volcanoes to actually, like, do it, right? Which is, I mean, you could quite literally talk about the skin as a volcano in some way, right? That, like, okay, I'm I'm gonna physically show you what you're doing to yourself until you listen, right? And yeah, we've also normalized quick fixes. So we don't also think about like, well, but it's my skin or it's my hair. And it's like, what does that have to do with anything else? And it's like, oh, yeah,
Totally. And I love the volcano analogy too, because I actually feel like energetically that's the time we're living in right now. Like things are just happening in pretty explosive ways, whatever you think about those things, but they're big things, right? Whether it's like climate and heat and natural disasters or the politics of the day and the energy, right? Like just the tension on either side, right? Towards the other side. I feel like we are living through a time, a volcanic time that's asking us to rise, right?
Yes.
Asking us, either you're going to stay in this crunchy, uncomfortable, dark, fearful place, or you're going to rise to like whatever the next version of what it needs to be. And we see what happens, but I do feel like that's the way out of a lot of these situations is to rise, to try something different, to innovate, to collaborate, to find community, to figure it out.
Right. And I think what you said before is like the hardest question, but is that key that opens the door to, I won't call it the other side. It's the exit. There may be a very long, windy tunnel to move through, but what do you want to do?
Right.
Right. Which is the question that I think a lot of people are running from, because you could perceive it as easier to just keep doing the machine thing and keep running in the engine. Right. But like I'm visualizing like Mario now, right? Like running down this track and then things are exploding in front of me and I'm having to leap and I'm jumping and I blew off my leg and you know, all these things are happening. And it's like, actually there's just this, if you stopped and asked yourself this question, there's like a different door, like that secret door in Mario, right? That like you have to know is there.
Third door, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, okay, it doesn't mean that it's going to be like sunshine and roses on the other side of that door. Like there's some stuff to work through potentially, but like it's you're not in this anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Still. Well, and also, you know, I've heard too, like that it's like, it's a third door analogy, right? With people who don't keep just waiting in line with just the hordes of everyone else. They're the ones that are brave enough to go find the other way out or the third, you know, the other entrance, right? Into something. And they're the innovators. They're the entrepreneurs. They're the ones that are change makers, really. Because they didn't just wait and stand in line and hope that something changed, right?
Right. They were like, oh, okay, I've surveyed the area. This is not working. What else could work, right? And that's that awareness piece. It's like, really all it takes is you like lifting your eyes a little bit. Like it's not a big movement. It's just lifting your eyes so that you can view the landscape rather than staying in your line and in your queue, right?
I also think like in this time of the rise of AI, right? Like we need that more than ever, like for someone to think outside the box, to find the other way out, right? The other way of doing something. And then it also ties back to coming back to core values and priorities, like how you show up authentically and are brave enough, right? To make the decision that you need to make, rather than just falling back in line. That's what's going to distinguish you from what a computer can do, right?
Absolutely.
Distinguish your work, your thoughts, your visibility in the world, your influence in the world, really. And so we need to you know, flex that muscle to practice doing that more, which can be really scary.
Yeah. Well, we've been in a world and are hopefully emerging from this world, but a world that's told us be the same.
Right.
Don't be different.
Fit in with your tribe, right?
Yes.
It's safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise the tribe's going to kick you out. Right.
Right.
It's like, we're morphing and we're kind of, you know, the caterpillar, we're in the goo. This is really gooey right now. Right. But are you going to stay in the goo? are you going to be that beautiful butterfly and come out and be
Right.
brave? And that's, again, I think you're right that coming back to that community aspect, having others around you that can say, what you're doing is brave. And that may be, I did nothing today. Brave, wildly brave. Like, like you said at the very beginning, like that's revolutionary. That's rebel. That's like, but if you have the people around you that understand, even if it's one to start, right? That was so brave of you to not.
Right. And the other thing I'd add to that, in terms of that rebellion, right? That radical move is to feel good. Not just to slow down, like slowing down is like step one, but then to feel good, like joy, right? A lot of people just wait for joy to happen, but you can actually cultivate joy just by shifting your mindset and how you see the world and see all the good, right? And having a gratitude practice and going back to the toolkit, to the treasure chest, right? Like, but it is radical, especially now, because again, there's so much tension and opposition, right? And fear on both sides, on all sides. But if you can actually step out of that, right? And be like, I'm still going to be okay. I'm still like in this moment, I'm okay. And I can put a smile on my face and I can hug a loved one. And I can go outside and see the beautiful sun shining. Like so many little, just simple, everyday things that we totally take for granted, you know. But when you're, you know, I don't have my head in the sand completely. Like I see the headlines, I know what's going on.
Totally.
But then I got to turn it off, right?
Yes.
And I got to shift because otherwise the collective, right? Just energy is like dark and low energy and fearful. And that is not the way out. That's not opening that other door, right?
Right. I think of that as that like coherence part, right? Like, are you going to be coherent with that? Like you're choosing to be coherent with that. And it doesn't mean that that doesn't exist and that that isn't happening. But if I can start choosing to shift my coherence, I can still see. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, but I'm anchoring into something new. And you know what? The more you anchor into it, the more the people around you are like, oh, you mean I can unsubscribe from that? Yeah. Doesn't mean you don't know it's not happening. It's just like, I'm not going to be like deep in it, swimming in that pool. I'm choosing to swim in this pool and know that there's a pool next to me too.
Totally.
And I love that. And I think that's such an important aspect of finding what that is for us and saying, okay, what am I choosing every single day? Like, what am I choosing to participate in? Where am I choosing to spend my energy, my time, my resources, my effort, right? And I heard something that I feel like is a beautiful conclusion thought for us to contemplate, which is, you know, we are so forward looking in so many aspects. And I heard something that shifted my thoughts again, which was, and you can take this two ways, which is the world we're living in today is the manifestation of our past dreams. And okay, so we can look at the external world and be like, maybe that's not our past dreams, but we've been working towards something and that manifests in the world out there. And so one, we can remember that in our day-to-day reclamation of our own joy, wait, there was a person that wanted a family and kids and a dog so desperately bad, I would have given anything for that, right? And here I am. That is my life, right? Like, can we take that moment and remember that we've created something? And then on the flip side, remember, we have that power to do it again. And we created this one, right? And it doesn't have to be perfect, but like, let's look at the things that we have now that we wanted at some point. And then say, wait, I can do that again. I did it.
Totally. It's funny. My husband and I have this, this jar, like a wish jar. And so when we wanted, you know, to have kids, we put a picture of kids in there. And when we wanted to have a new house, we put a picture of the house that we wanted. And like, all those things came true in a very short time after we actually put the wish in there, you know, however you want to interpret it, right? But then we have all that, and then we haven't been wishing anymore, which is totally wrong. So much more to wish for. And we just had this conversation the other day, like, we haven't used this jar in a really long time. Like, it's what we have to think and design what we want moving forward. Now that we have a beautiful family, like, what do we want for that beautiful family? Like, well, how do we want to go out into the world and serve our community? Like, we can, you know, when you're growing the family, right, you can become kind of insular. It's like, that's the season you're in, right? Great. But as the kids get a little bit older, okay, well, now what do we want? What's that next 2.0 version of our family and our desires and what we want to manifest, you know? So, yeah, I wish that for everyone, right?
Exactly, right? And the beauty of like saying it out loud, taking an action with it, like that co-creation energy, right? Which comes back to the community of like the more that we can participate with other people and be seen and say and put the things out there, like it's so powerful for us. It's so simple and it's yet so
There's so much potential, right? There's just so much potential. Like, and just this dream of like, how do we share more wellness with the world, right? And make that a normalized thing. It's a big dream, but just by, smiling to your neighbor and to having a conversation, showing up with like good positive energy, like it does really have a ripple effect. And I really do think that there's huge potential there, even though it can sound kind of Pollyannish, but there's, that's the
Absolutely.
physics of the world that we live in.
It is, right? It's really, really real. And I think the hardest and most amazing and most magical part about it is you likely have ripples well beyond you will ever even know, right? You said one word to somebody you didn't even know. They passed that to somebody else, and that created like a whole new thing. And you won't even ever
You
know
won't ever know.
that happened.
And nor should you know, right?
You
Just,
don't need to know. It's just, but I get lit up by like thinking about that by just having a conversation or sharing a thought or a smile or whatever that is, like, wow.
It's a huge ripple effect. Let's create waves in this world, right? Let's go somewhere.
I know. Let's do it. I know. I'm like,
Let's
let's get in
start going. Put
the
the sail up.
Right? Exactly. Oh my goodness. I have loved this, and I always love chatting with you and your energy and how much enthusiasm and all the different pieces. So thank you for having this conversation with me today.
Oh, absolutely. I loved it so much. And likewise, Carrie, I love chatting with you. I always like have a bigger smile after talking with you.
That makes me so happy. I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jen. And thank you to everybody for tuning in. If you want to connect with Jen, you'll find all of her links and information in the caption or the description below the episode. So connect with her. She has beautiful things that she's doing in the world. And if you especially are navigating change or resonated with anything that Jen shared, please connect with her because she is your guide in this next chapter. So, thank you, Jen, again. And thank you to everyone listening. And we will see you next time.